Great Country Q94. It's the extended version of Coffee with Kyle. We haven't done one of these in a while.
It's been about a month.
Yeah. I saw Gabe Bush's eyes rolling.
17 minutes is too long.
Yeah. I thought it was 17 minutes of very compelling content.
Listen, I don't think anybody changed their station.
I'm pretty sure that, like, we had everybody locked in. Nobody was, like, yeah, people were sitting in their cars in parking lots.
Well, our squads come pre-equipped with 6 options, and they're all 94.3. So, I mean, our cops don't have another choice.
It was kind of funny. I did my ride-along, and I got in, and I was like, oh, look, you guys do have me on the radio.
I told you, it's not an option.
That's awesome. Hey, do you want to hear a little funny story about something like that? When we lived up north, I drove down, and one of the sheriff's deputies was there. And I just stopped by to say hi. And I stopped. I walked over to his car. And he looked at me like he had seen a ghost. And he was like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, yeah, I was saying hi. So I've been in a couple movies. And one of them's Act of Valor.
Yeah.
He was watching Act of Valor on his laptop.
Oh, my gosh.
And I walked up to him. So he was watching me on his laptop. And then I, like, appeared out of nowhere. And so that was...
I'm glad you mentioned Act of Valor, because it was the first movie that I can remember watching where I'm like, that's actually what an AK sounds like. That's actually what an M4 platform sounds like.
Right.
The whole movie, I'm like, that's actually what it sounds like.
Do you know why? Because that movie was live fire. So unless there's an actor on the other side of that weapon,
right,
there are rounds being discharged from that. From
really?
That weapon system, yeah. And what's cool is that they filmed.
So you didn't have any real actors. You had, like, SEALs that played the parts, right?
Because
I'm a little worried.
Right.
But
okay, so check it out, man. That movie.
Yeah,
was,
we want the behind the scenes.
Okay, so that movie was made for recruiting purposes. In 2005, we had been so incredibly effective on the battlefield, Navy SEALs. We had taken it to the enemy, and we had removed so many of them from the battle space. One way or another, that Donald Rumsfeld said, hey, I want 500 more SEALs. And all the officers were like, yes, sir, we'll get them right for you, you know, and as they do frequently. And the next fiscal year rolled around, the net gain of SEALs after combat losses, unfortunately, we had a bunch of guys killed, others grievously injured, so they couldn't perform functions anymore, SEALs, retirements, and guys just getting out. The net gain of SEALs was 1. So we were 499 out of 500 short for the Secretary of Defense, which is not good. And so my buddy Duncan Smith, he's a retired SEAL captain now, they're sitting at our headquarters, Naval Special Warfare Command in Coronado, and they're like, hey, remember when Top Gun came out and everybody joined the Navy and didn't bother to tell anybody that you had to be an officer and go to college to fly a plane, you know? Yeah.
And small details. Right?
So they're like, let's make a movie. That's where Act of Valor came from. So they went around to the force and they asked everybody to be in a movie. No one volunteered, including me. And we just were like, no, we're not actors. And then I got called into my Commodore's office, Tom Brown. Unfortunately, he's dead now. But he's like, hey, Van O, I did some really, really specialized work. Where I reported directly to the Commodore from Africa and from Afghanistan. I got into some kind of heavy stuff. But so he calls me over to his office. He's like, hey, Van O, those guys want you to do that movie. I'm like, hey, Commodore, you can't order me to be in a movie. You can't. He's like, well, you're right. Why don't you go home and talk to Sarah Jane about it? Because he knew Sarah. And I was like, okay. So I go home. We're having dinner. And I'm like, hey, Sarah, remember those guys that came out to our desert training facility a few months ago? She's like, yeah. I go, well, they want me to be in the movie. And she goes, oh, what'd you say? And I go, well, I told them no. I'm not an actor. I'm a SEAL. And she goes, oh, okay. Yeah, well, maybe if you did that movie, the kids would know why you spent so much time away from home.
So you got good advice. You got good advice.
Your wife is a genius.
Yeah, so Sarah's like, that's how your wife tells you to be in a movie without telling you to be in a movie. But I spent like 16 years away from home.
Yeah.
Anyway, so everybody in that movie that is in an American military uniform was an active duty serviceman or woman when that was filmed.
Wow.
And it'll never be made again. But anyway, back to the live fire stuff. There's a scene where these PBRs, they're SOC Rs, they're called Special Operations Craft Riverine.
Yep.
Where they come ripping in, they're shooting those miniguns. I watched the cut before they put CGI in there. And, that's all live fire. So those are miniguns that shoot 6,000 rounds a minute, and there's multiple of those going on, along with these other We use Mark 48s now, which is a 7.62. It's the same round. So there's thousands and thousands of bullets being discharged. And what you do is you swim right in between all these. So you're pulling people out and, you know, swimming out to these boats while they're shooting all over you. And one of the cameramen from, like, the B unit, there's an A unit and a B unit, they get done filming this thing and they can't find this guy. And they're like, oh no, where is this guy? So they finally found him. He's like rocking back and forth against a tree.
Hunkered down.
Because he could not process what was taking place. And so he just completely shut down. And you know what we call
fight or freeze or flight?
He was done.
Yeah.
Like checked out of the program. But you know,
froze right up.
What we call stuff like that, you know, we call it Tuesday. That's like another day at the office for us. But anyway, that's the backstory.
That's great.
In case you're wondering.
Yeah, I just remember watching it. I'm like, that's actually what it sounds like. This is the first movie that I can say, that's actually what that gun sounds like.
It's good. And also, SOCOM Navy SEALs, that video game.
Mm-hmm.
If you play that game, it's the same stuff because they came to Nyland, which is our desert training facility, and we fired those weapons and they recorded them. Those are real.
Nice.
Real. That's how those weapons sound when they get discharged.
I learned something more than what I came here with.
I was just going to say, that was...
I'm essentially the Forrest Gump of the SEAL team.
That's great.
All these things that have taken place, I've been there.
Well, of course, we were talking with Representative-elect Derek Van Orten and our extended version of Coffee with Kyle. We talked on the on-air portion about the defunding the police and kind of the real-world impact of that. Now, Kyle, you have, well, not you, but the city of Prairie du Chien in appropriations right now.
Yes.
A public safety center? Is that what it's
called? Yeah, public safety building to combine our fire department and police department into one building right now.
They used to be combined in one department, right? In this building?
Yeah, in this building right here as we sit here. Yeah.
Worked well while it did, right?
Yeah, I thought so. And we share a facility right now with our sheriff's department, and the fire department has several buildings that they hold their apparatus in. The reality is their apparatus is probably the most expensive equipment that the city owns, and right now they're sitting in 10 buildings. So we're trying to fund a public safety center. One of the sources of that funding is appropriations, earmarks, for lack of a better term, and they're sitting at Congress waiting to be approved. Last I knew from the Senate, there was a possibility that they could take a vote shortly after the first of the year for those.
Well, now... I'm going to say this as somebody who, looking on the outside in, because obviously you know your building.
Yeah.
When I had to go apply for the Citizens Academy, I had to go drop off my application. And I actually, like, called you. I was like, I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah,
this is very confusing.
That's feedback I've gotten a few times from a few customers.
I mean, I don't frequent the police station a lot.
Which is good.
Right? I know.
One of the problems is that it's been remodeled several times since it's been built. And so it is a bit confusing. And in my mind, it's not as welcoming as I would like it to be. A police department, a public safety center, to me, should be a welcoming, you know,
you want building the criminals to walk in a good mood.
I want my citizens to walk in and know that they are in the right place and can find their...
Been walking in there for an emergency, I would have had no idea where to go or what to do. Like, I would have been like...
Well, that's our goal to change that. So, and again, to get all of our city, you know, public safety entities under one roof, we've really increased our interactions with the fire department over the last couple of years to get Rescue Task Force up and going. We've gotten several joint grants to fund that stuff. And work together for Stop the Bleed, you know, mass casualty response care. They're getting more and more involved in our traffic crashes and specifically our injury crashes. So we just want to build that on that relationship because the reality is we're codependents. I mean, we cannot operate in silos. We have to be codependent on each other, and a public safety building will you know, make that happen.
Well, and the other thing, and we talked about this during the Citizens Academy, and we've talked about it on air. Derek, I don't know, have you been in the Crawford County Jail?
Not as an inmate.
No,
but
I wasn't inferring
right?
that.
Yes, I have.
I'm pretty sure that would have come out at some point.
I was going to say, the media would have exposed that.
I don't
know
who would have missed that. But
Right. But, you know, when we did our tour of the jail as part of the Citizens Academy, and even seeing, like, the evidence room and all of that stuff, I was constantly shocked. Like, this doesn't seem safe. This doesn't seem up to standards.
We had a firm come in and do a investigation of our building, basically to tell us what we needed
evaluation,
to improve.
Yep.
You know, one of the things of interest is our fume hood, where we test narcotics, is on the third floor, second floor, I guess, of the building. Our evidence room is in the basement. And the vast majority of all of our drugs, that were, whether it's marijuana, methamphetamine, cocaine, whatever it is, the vast majority of all of those are testing positive for fentanyl now.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to test for fentanyl and to field test our other drugs, we should be utilizing a fume hood. Well, if we go up to our second floor and utilize a fume hood and it tests positive for fentanyl, we walk down two more flights of stairs to go to our basement to store it. Well, we've essentially contaminated our entire building at that point in time. And so we have to come up with a better solution than that. Fentanyl, we know, is incredibly dangerous. You know, it's becoming more and more prolific.
Fentanyl is the leading cause of death for Americans age 18 to 45.
No surprise.
Which is insane.
Which is terrible. Hey, just backing up on the sheriff's stuff, when he said the environments aren't particularly safe, they adhere to very rigid standards.
Oh, for sure.
So just so I want everybody listening to understand that our sheriffs are doing... they're doing the absolute best that they can with everything that they have. And the vast majority of time, they're wildly succeeding.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
But, yeah, do we need to be able to have appropriate funds? There's something called unfunded federal mandates that need to go away. And that's someone in Washington, D.C. has, you know, just the best idea in the world. And they say everybody in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, is going to have this. And then they don't give them any money.
Yeah.
That's why if you look at our fire departments, and I think it's great, fire departments and police departments should have these public events where everybody's getting together and you're putting money in a boot. They should do that for community relations. They shouldn't do that because they have to buy turnout gear. You know, it's $3,500, $4,000 a set for turnout gear that every 20 years, due to this, you know, idea that came up in D.C., you got to turn it back in. Makes 100% sense in downtown Manhattan because they're going to 5 or 6 calls a day. Well, here they're doing 5 or 6 calls a week or a month, and so that gear lasts longer. So I'm gonna do my best when I get there to make sure that, again, the voice comes from the people that are actually serving. We learned this the hard way in the SEAL teams.
I mean, I liken it to wants and needs, right? We are now fundraising for needs.
Mm-hmm.
Where there was a time where we did fundraisers for wants,
yeah.
And now that coin is flipped, where we're saying, you know, these basic needs that we have to have in order to keep our people safe, we have to now fundraise for, just because, you know, there's a lot of different things going on, whether it's, you know, levy limits or, you know, we could go on for weeks about this, but
your
the reality
entire
is,
canine unit is yeah, from fundraising.
Yeah, both of them.
The whole canine unit.
Oh, yeah. I know. Which, I went to the fundraiser downtown.
I mean, we both supported it, but it's kind of insane that, you know, this morning I saw the K-9 out.
Well, let's talk about the major public safety issues in Prairie du Chien. I will sit here and tell you that it's methamphetamines,
sure.
Fentanyl. And we have to fundraise for every nickel that goes into our K-9 program. Or it wouldn't happen.
Which is insane.
It wouldn't happen if we didn't.
So, I mean, and this is, you're a department that gets support from your city.
Oh my gosh, tremendous.
You know, you've talked about this a lot on air, that you do have support from your city.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you do have a community that is supporting your K-9 unit. That's why it's here.
Yep.
But not every community in the 3rd District has that.
That's true. We do, generally speaking, our police officers are supported throughout the district. There's a couple places and, you know, the major population centers that we have where they're not as well supported. But generally speaking, across the board, our citizens respect law enforcement, which I appreciate greatly. My issue with what the chief is just saying here is that when you have the local law enforcement people clearly identify the greatest risk to public safety in our community, which is fentanyl and methamphetamine or fentanyl-laced methamphetamine, all this stuff across the board. When they clearly articulate that, and it's quantifiable, so you have metrics that are drawing this, it's not a feeling, you know, I think that this is an issue. You can pin the tail on a donkey. that's when the government should be supporting the government, because you're part of the government,
yeah.
right? So if you're identifying these things, why in the heck is someone back in D.C. telling you what's right and what's wrong? It doesn't make any sense. We got to stop that. So again, I'm going to say this every single time I do every interview. I want everyone to know that I plan on serving the community. And the only way I know what the community needs is when I come talk to the chief and I talk to the sheriffs and I talk to our county officials. And I'm meeting everybody across the board. We put out an invitation to every single elected official that is Republican and Democrat in this district. And I expect to hear from them, and I'll treat them equally. That's my drum that I'm going to be beating everywhere I go.
Hey, you don't have to run re-election just yet. You get sworn in on January 3rd, I think
said. That's correct.
Yeah. So you were talking off air, and this was highly entertaining to me about picking your office.
Right.
It's a big deal. I just assumed, like, I don't know. I guess I've never been to the Capitol, but I just assumed that, like, oh, here's Wisconsin's House seats.
Nope.
And here's their offices. Like, I just...
So it goes back to like 1906.
Okay.
And it's a tradition. They didn't do it under the last couple of years because of COVID. But every freshman, Republican and Democrat, you go into this really beautiful room. And I put pictures on my social media at Derek Van Orden on Facebook and Twitter. So I'm trying to walk people through this process.
Yeah.
Like, I was taking pictures of the cafeteria and the hot sauce dispenser and the post office and the dry cleaning place in the Capitol, so everybody knows what it's like. But so y'all get in this room. They have a list of every available office, and they're very hierarchical. So
not all the offices are the same. Because
all the offices are at the Capitol.
Well, true, right. True.
So there's three office buildings that are across the street from the Capitol, but and they're all different. The newest building that they're redoing. Those are more standardized. But Longworth is the building where most of the freshmen go to. It's the oldest one, and, you know, it's kind of run down. It's sort of awesome, actually. I mean, it's much more my speed. Let's be frank. I mean, I'm sitting here wearing a plaid flannel. But so they put all of the available offices, and then they put the number of freshmen there. There were 74 this year. They put these little discs with a number on them in this box. It's the same box as these views since like 1906. And then you put your hand in there and you draw a number in front of everybody. There's press there. They're taking pictures. And I drew number 18 out of 74. Okay. But prior to this, we did all of our homework. We spent a significant time going to all the different offices, and we ranked them like 1 through 35. So out of the 74. So I had my choice by office, the first 35. And it got down to it. We got our first pick. So everybody else is trying to go into this newer office building because it's all fancy pants. And, you know, that's not me. There's going to be cheese curds in my office, by the way. You're all welcome to come. But we picked one. It's a corner office. It overlooks this park. It's on the opposite side of the building, the Capitol. It's on the fifth floor. It's 1513 is the office number. And I expect everybody listening to this, you come to the Capitol, I will assign someone on my staff to give you a personal tour of the United States Capitol. You're not going to have to jump in a line with anybody. They do this big group tour. You come to D.C. and we're going to show you your house. I mean, that is the people's house.
Yeah.
And that's a real offer. So you guys show up, and there will be cheese curds in my office. We're going to highlight some of the products throughout the district. So there'll probably be a few Potosis in there, in case you want to take a break. I'm not joking. I really want to demystify Congress. People don't know what takes place there. They just don't.
I've had this conversation before. People are almost like put elected officials on a pedestal. And there have been times where I'm like, oh yeah, I contacted so-and-so about that issue, or I contacted them. They're like, you contacted a congressman? And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I could sit and complain about it.
Sure.
But that's not really going to get anything done. Right. I'm going to contact the person who can actually do something.
Yes, and
your lines are open. There are ways to contact you.
That's right. The title is representative. It's not your lordship. And there's a lot of people in office that have forgotten that. I did an interview with The Hill. It's this, you know, insider baseball D.C. thing. Very, very liberal. Back in D.C. And the reporter said, well, Congressman-elect Van Orden, are you used to being called Congressman-elect? I said, no, I'm not. And I don't think anybody should ever get used to being called congressman or congresswoman, because that means you've been there too long. We have to understand that, you know, my job is to work for people. And, you know, I don't like it when people open doors for me. I don't. I think it's, you know, I get it. It's out of respect. They call you sir. Out of respect. But, you know, that's not me. I mean, look at me, for Pete's sake. I'm wearing my jeans and boots. This is me. And it's funny. I wear this stuff around in D.C. And they're like, you know, who's that redneck here? And I go, well, this redneck just got elected to Congress. And I'm not changing. There's times when you have to wear a suit and all that stuff the floor. But we cannot forget where we came from.
And who you represent.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much. I know you're a very busy guy. Kyle, you're kind of a busy guy.
What? Oh, my goodness. He is the chief of police here.
Yeah, like I said, we've been doing this for 2 years. No, I get joking. To make fun of him.
Yeah.
I brought him coffee today. And you didn't even, you could have redeemed yourself on the wager from the football game.
Are you asking me to respond? Is that what this line of questioning is for?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Which game are you talking about?
I think you were supposed to still be using an Iowa cup.
It's in my car. It's in my, I'll walk you out there and show it to you.
Yeah, you will, because I don't believe you. But you...
I expect an apology in about 30 seconds.
You were gone on Friday.
I was.
Or Saturday. I was gone on Saturday. Yeah. And Wisconsin and Iowa played last Sunday.
Yep. So, and Wisconsin beat
and
them.
And Wisconsin won.
Overtime, 78-75.
You could have said double or nothing.
Whatever.
You had to be gone.
The cup's fine. And you claim that I don't have it anymore. But we're going to walk outside. I'm going to show it to you.
All right. Well, I'm going to hold you to that. So, thanks to Derek Van Orten for
You're
coming
sure
in and
thanks
hanging out with
me.
Us. It was a great time. Come back anytime.
I will.
It's Coffee with Kyle with Prairie du Chien Police Chief Kyle Tinor.